morning, all of, well, not a whole bunch of us, but anyways, before we get started, really quick, there's a, in Revelations, it's, I think it's more important that not trying to understand every picture, everything. This morning, Tamara said, I asked her, I said, what'd you get out of this? And she said, well, I don't know. She said, I really don't. She said, I see this stuff like dragons and a woman riding a dragon, and you know, what does all this mean? And I said, well, we can talk about what I feel the dragon is and who the woman is and all these things, and that's something we ponder. But what the, and we can discuss, and it's wonderful. You can spend hours on this stuff. And if you heard what I said was the what I feel the dragon and the woman is, you might never talk to me again. So this is kind of a, this, some of this is more personal, but the biggest thing I think we need to see in Revelation is that it's not anything hidden. And what Christ was telling us about those that will read and keep these words are blessed. And it's not anything that magical is going to happen. What he's saying is you're going to be happy. We're going to be happy if we read and keep these words. And what is, the words of Revelation are, is warnings and promises. And that's saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am overcome. Fear not. And there's warnings in here for us, for the church. But it's nothing that we need to be, oh my God, I don't understand that. What's gonna happen? There's some pretty amazing and scary things that come in Revelation, but we're not supposed to fear them because Christ has overcome. So I guess we started in chapter 3, and this is what we would call the dead church. At the beginning of this, this is the dead church of Sardis. Cameron, what did you get out of chapter 3? Did anybody get anything in chapter 3 that really stood out to them? At the end, there's a promise to all, even the warnings, there's a promise to all these. And in verse 5 in chapter 3, it says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And here it is. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Cameron, what is he saying when he says, he who has an ear? You have to listen. Amen. Exactly. If our children, sometimes the way when things are going on with our children, Jacob especially, we'll just throw him under the bus. If he would listen, if he would just listen, and I think all of us are going to struggle, especially leaders in the church. Anyway, Pam, let's use Pam for instance. All the things that she does, and as faithful as she is, and we still we struggle with things. And this is a in our home, Jacob. I'm thinking, well, I do all this, and this. All these people work with inmates and stuff, but my son, stepson, is going to school threatening people and cussing them out. And I'm like, what? he does not hear this stuff. We promise. We do not cuss and use that word especially, and threaten to shoot people in our home. But yet he does it. But when we go up there, they're like, oh, here they come. Those must be horrible people. It's just the way the enemy works. And right. And we're going to be attacked from all sides. But if we will, the only thing we can do to save our sanity and our lives is say, you know what, I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to love this person through this, no matter what, how crazy, how against God's word it may seem. I'm just going to love him. And that's all I can. That's all we can do. And it's hard. You might think Jacob's just a great, wonderful little boy. Come live with him for a couple weeks, and you'll be like, I can't handle that. You cannot. Exactly. And love is a choice. Like is, and I tell him that, and I tell lots of people that. I am not commanded to like. I'm commanded to love. And I can love no matter what a person does to me, no matter what my own family members or anything. I can make that choice to love them and just keep on, because in Revelations, those that overcome this morning, now I can go towards Pastor because he's back. This morning I woke up with this headache that was so bad that my eyes were like almost swollen shut. And I'm like, I can't do this. She's like, why? I said, look at me. And she's like, well, I have aspirin. And so I text Pastor. I'm like, Pastor, I don't think I can. How are you feeling? Could you lead life group this morning? Because I said, I'm going to show up. I'm going to bring water. We're going to tithe, and I'm going to leave. He never answered me back. So I'm like, I'm going to go take a shower and just sit in some hot water and give me some aspirin, and we're going to show up. We're going to overcome. We're just going to overcome. It may not be comfortable. I may still have a headache and not feeling good, but sometimes we just got to stand and overcome, whether it's Jacob or... Okay, I'll leave him alone now. But no matter what it is, the people that I work with, the struggles with our jobs, if I just stand and know Christ is coming back, whether it's today, whether it's two generations from now, and He's made me a promise, He's promised Robert that I have overcome this world, and one day all this is going to end. All this is going to end, and this is, will be so amazing. Heaven's going to be so amazing. It's going to be... just like the things in Revelations we can't understand. We can't picture it. All we know is it's in what I told Tamara yesterday. One thing I know for sure, if I can even speak about this without crying again, God is good. God is good. It's just absolutely. So, while I'm staying here just like, doing what I'm doing. Somebody in chapter 3 before we go in chapter 4. Right, and you see a lot of that, and what Christ said about that is probably one of the scariest things that we see when He's talking to churches. He said, He's saying, I can work with you if you're hot. I can even work with you if you're cold. But if you're just on the fence and riding, He said, I will spew you out of my mouth. And that picture right there should really warn us, saying, we don't need to be on the fence. Well, I think that we do so much damage. We do more damage to God's kingdom when we're saying, "I'm a Christian," but you know, I go to church, I jump through all these hoops, but yet my life is not representing what Christ, what His kingdom is all about. Because that does way more damage. If I'm saying, hey, I'm inviting people to church, and I go to church every Sunday, and I'm doing this, I'm doing that, but my life is still wishy-washy, and I use that a lot. Thou shalt not be wishy-washy. It's supposed to be an extra commandment. I think Moses, it fell off the bottom or something. It's supposed to be in there. We shouldn't be. We can work with those that are cold, and those don't. If someone's just totally against, I work with people that are absolute atheists. They don't damage the kingdom of God. They damage themselves and their own lives, and God's chasing after them. But if I'm sitting here saying I'm a Christian, but my actions, my life, my marriage, my children, my home doesn't represent it, I'm actually doing damage. And God and Christ Jesus is saying, I will just don't even come to church, Robert. If this is who you're going to be, don't even show up. Wait till you're ready. I love you, and I'm patient. I'm going to wait for you, but don't even show up. And that's why He's saying when Christ says that, you know, that He's going after this and that, and that person that's on the fence is, and I'm glad you brought that up. That's something that's very damaging to us, and sometimes we need to look in a mirror. I have to do it. I do it a lot. I've had conversations with Hammer lately of the same thing. My life needs to represent this. If I'm going to bring glory to this kingdom, I've got to be all in. So, I don't know how many people, the hardest person, my son-in-law, and praise the Lord, we've been, I did the marriage for my baby boo and her husband, and she is very faithful, very loving, very kind, and he is church hurt. He was someone in very close in his life, was a large member of the church, and all he saw was a fake Christian, and Dylan was very church hurt, and so we prayed and loved. Dylan's a wonderful, he's that, some of you guys have met him, but he's just that wonderful stand-up guy, provides for his family, big, protects my little baby boo, but doesn't want anything to do with the church or God, because he's church hurt. And one of those people that Christ said, I would like to spew you out of my, or I will spew you out of my mouth, has been involved in his life since he's very little. In the last, 6 months, something like that, someone, and this is what we prayed for, so, and God is so faithful, and I prayed with Boo, and she's just been faithful, and we've just constantly prayed. God put someone in his life that will minister him, love him, and some friend of his that was saved here a few years ago is just, hey, want to go to church? No. How about you come over for dinner? And this started months ago. Now Dylan's going to this. In fact, Dylan, they were going to come to church last week, and Boo said, well, let me ask him, but he really likes and he loves this church. But this church he's getting involved in, he's wanting to be in the praise band. They said, look, we'll go buy you a guitar now if you'll, and he's just, now he's been going to church every day or every week for, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. but he's one of those people, and we've been praying for years. I don't know how long ago they got married. It's been a minute. Like I said, I performed the marriage, very blessed. Just being there, dancing with my boo at our wedding and doing the ceremony. But we prayed for years. And this man, now Dylan's actually is searching when he's coming to church and he's worshiping. She said, why do you like that? And he said, I don't know, I just feel good. Well, you know, praise the Lord. He's going to be baptized someday soon. I just know it. But the point of that whole story was, and I'm so glad she brought that up, is he was damaged. He was hurt by someone that Christ was talking about. I'd rather you be hot or cold. Someone that lukewarm, I go to church, but I'm a Christian. But he was hurt by one of those people. And he's like, I don't need none of that. I don't want to be that person. I'm not fake. I'm a man. And he did not want to be that man, and that stand-up person did not jive or whatever with what he saw as a Christian. So, anything in chapter 3, 4, we go on chapter 4. I know Tamara's got stuff to say about chapter 4. Okay, maybe not. She just gave me that look. Well, that's a whole... What we need to see in that is that Jesus Christ is, when we're saved, Christ has taken us from something that he's chasing after, that we have finally... like stop long enough to hear his voice, and this book of life, these are those that are going to be saved. These are those that have got their place in heaven, that he is building a home, that he is reconciled, that he is brought back to him, back into the kingdom of God. As far as the blotting out, I don't know where we go with this, Pastor. I think what I do, where I go personally, is Paul said that I work out my salvation daily in fear and trembling. And when I talk to Tamara or anyone that wants to listen, children, I say that I fear God, so I don't have to fear anything else. Whether it's, if we want, like Pastor said, there is discussions and churches separate over this. That's why I don't generally just, it's between me and God and you and God or whatever as far as the salvation goes. But I believe that nothing, I absolutely, because I know his word is true. So when he says nothing can take you from from my hand, then I'm going to believe that. But for His glory, for His kingdom, I need to be very fearful of my actions. If I'm going to fear anything, I fear God and what Robert can do to Robert, what Robert can do to God's kingdom. So I'm not going to say, well, I'm saved, so I can do whatever I want. That brings me back into that whole lukewarm thing. So I am fearful. Paul was fearful. Paul was fearful of his actions and his thoughts. He did not believe that anything could take him from Christ. But he did believe that he could do damage to maybe what Paul did today might cause Timothy to not be saved or whatever that might be, if that makes sense. So I wouldn't worry about the blotting out. The blotting out is for that person that maybe that I didn't reach. Maybe that person never got into like the Lamb's Book of Life. When he was born, his soul was created through God. He was in this book, and he never made it to here. Does that make sense? At all? Maybe a little bit. So, but like you just had the answer yourself when you said that you and someone were discussing this. This is what the Jews did when they midrashed. This is where those answers come from. When there's two of us, three of us, four of us talking, just ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom, then He'll put that peace in your heart. Whatever that answer is for you, between you and Christ, that answer will come. Anybody else? Tamara? Tanya? No? Okay. Anything else in there is so much here. We could take a verse, and we could spend this hour. We've read through seven. I would really just encourage us. I was telling on the way to church this morning. We're talking about it's like this, and all of us were talking, is this the dragons and this and that. What we need to see here is the promises, and that God has overcome. And just read through this and talk to other people about it, and let God color this picture for you. As you know, some of us may see Apache helicopters like me in some of this, and some people, we could go there. But the promises that joy that I'm going to have, that being happy, is knowing that God's going to overcome, knowing that these promises are real. So that's our promise that God's given us through Revelation. Anything in 4 before we go to 5? There's some cool things in 5. There's cool things all through this. But Tanya? No? Okay. Okay. Chapter 5. Lamb takes the scroll. Something just jumped out in this or just totally confused. Sometimes just that question, that's crazy. That crazy question may be where the Holy Spirit speaks to us today. We can all discuss it. I'm not going to have anywhere close to all the answers, but the Holy Spirit has all the answers. Those answers come from, they have to start with a question, Tanya. Okay, I'll stop. Maybe. What stood out to me right off the bat was right at the beginning, verse 5 or chapter 5 says, "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with the seven seals." Tanya? The scrolls back in this time, they were, if we were to look at the actual scroll, that any of the books, they were written on all on one side. The scrolls that we're thinking of was written on one side, and it was just one continuing. You could just roll this out, and they would roll it as they read, and then you could reverse the process. So it was only on one, but there was one type of scroll that was written on two sides. Any guesses on what that one of those scrolls would be? Tanya, any ancient? No? Okay. Okay. Well, there was more than one, actually. If Tamara and I would have been married back 2,000 years ago, and I am old, but not quite that old, our marriage contract would have had been written on both sides. Contracts, deeds to land, and so forth, the details of them were written on the inside of the scroll, and the outside would have said, Cameron and Robert married, had two camels, and whatever, just the legal part of it, the overview, and then the inside would have all the details. Does that make sense? Legal contracts were written on both sides. And I don't think anything in this word, there wasn't a reason for John to see it, for the Holy Spirit to tell him to write it. So when it says a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals, I think that's a picture of us saying this is a contract, this is a deed for earth, for us. This is more than just what we're going to read about. This is showing that this is a contract, this is a deed. Does that make sense, or did I just lose everybody completely? So, absolutely. So this is not just a scary thing where he's going, oh my gosh, look what's happening now when he's opening these seals. And another thing, that these seals that are opening up, this is what we were bought with. And these seals started opening up. Don't expect this. And part of this is, in my opinion, what I feel God has showed me. But these seals aren't something that we're just going to see that's going to be boom, and then this happens. I believe these seals started, all these seals at the beginning started opening up, like Tamara said this morning. She actually does talk. Back when Christ first ascended, these things have started, this whole thing. This is Him taking us back and taking control and taking back what Satan has taken from us, because this is His. This is my deed. These people belong to me. This earth belongs to me. I created this universe. The moon, the stars, all this. This is mine. And He's taking it back. And this is giving us a picture of the things that are going to come. And I promise that we are bought and paid with the blood of the Lamb. And these are His. Right. And this is our He's bought and paid for this. This is His. This is title to His people. These are our souls. This is our, not only the earth, the planets, the universe, everything in it, but the souls that God has created. This is His rights that He owns us. And all the other stuff, the dragon stuff, that's just a huge thing, a battle that until he comes back. All this stuff is not for us to fear, but to ponder and look at and discuss. But He's overcome. He is worthy to open the scroll. He's worthy to own the scroll and everything in it. Tanya? No? And all through this, once again, if you go to 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are as in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Throughout the book, He's worthy. He's worthy for our worship. He's worthy for our lives. He is worthy. And this is just a theme through all this. There's we have all these seals, and all this scary stuff, but he's worthy. He's overcome all this. Every prayer if we went back to the temple and stuff back in with Israel. And all these things like the incense, this was a picture of things. And our prayers, no prayer under any circumstance, when we're speaking to God, it's a record. And these are beautiful things. Even our pain. And I think sometimes, and this might sound a little bit off, sometimes our pain and our anguish is more beauty than just I'm happy because I got this or this happened in my life, or I'm like, woo, you know, God's blessing my butt off thing. I think sometimes that, or all the time, I think every one of my tears, I think is a precious thing that is saved by the hand of God, by the Holy Spirit. Every tear I've ever shed, whether it's over my pit bull or over a wandering child or whatever it might be, this is precious because this is God saying, look, this is my son that is broken and is crying out to me, and I'm holding this tear, I'm holding this prayer. And this is a picture of all these, this is the relationship between us and our God. So you're absolutely right. This is a beautiful picture that are nothing spoken to God. My just a tear without a word is a conversation between me and God. Chapter 5, Tanya. I don't know who this is bothering, or Pastor or Tanya. But. No, we are going to pick up a little bit. Chapter 6, the first seal. There's so much here, guys. Well, Christ, the horses we're seeing, these are, we'll just start with white horse. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow and a crown, and was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. First off, white represents peace. So this is going to be a time period of world peace. You're looking at a bow without arrows. So this is where that picture, the picture comes in that we can just talk about. But what Christ said, there'll be several antichrists. Anything against God is antichrist. So we're not looking for Satan to be on one of these horses. These are world events, not one certain thing that just opens up, but this, like the white horse, this is going to represent a time period of peace. Does that make sense? That's where our pictures come in of, okay, what does white represent? What does red represent? It's not that Satan's riding this horse. It's not an actual, we're not going to see, it's not a person. It's a worldwide event. World peace. We have not. Mm-hmm. Right. And this... it is. Are we getting that close? Okay. We'll just really quick so we can... This is just a lot of stuff that is just very enjoyable, actually, to look at and to study. But just try to think of the... Not only that, these pictures, like the white, this is peace. The next one is red. That's going to be wars. That is going to be just worldwide war. Black is famine and so forth. But right back to the beginning, we don't have to fear this. That's a whole another whole box of worms. People were, and pastors had a really good sermons on this. And some studies on this, where do we fall into that? Where are we raptured? In my heart, in my belief, there's going to be people. We know for sure 144,000. This is what I believe. This is where Israel is coming back to Christ. These are going to be 12,000 from each one of these tribes, or however that works out, that are going to be here to minister to those that are lost. But the church is going to be gone. In my heart, church is going to be gone. This is all going to happen. Maybe we get a front row seat of seeing it. I don't know how that's going to work, but we don't have to fear the. I don't believe we have to fear the world wars and the famines and all this stuff. I don't believe. And there's several other places in the rest of the Bible kind of will show us that But that can cause a lot of arguments if we're not careful of where we fall. But in my personal opinion, this is going to be, we're going to be raptured before most of this ever happens. But we're supposed to cover 7:2, weren't we? There is so much here. Anybody wants anything stand out from chapter 7? Then we're going to have to like close in prayer. We actually have church that's supposed to be going on. Ma'am? There is so much here. And we should all, a lot of us, Tanya and I, need to have like some conversations on our own. Just a couple people just discuss it. And this is where the Holy Spirit gives us that peace. And that's, if we get any, this is what we're looking for. Peace and the fear not. And that a lot of that peace comes from the question. And I love all the questions that you had. This is where Holy Spirit works out. Okay, now we're kind of ready. Pastor, would you want to close us in prayer? Or you want...